It used to be putting a help wanted ad in the paper would bring industries in western Wisconsin dozens of candidates. But businesses of all kinds are having trouble filling positions in the current economy, where there seem to be more jobs than workers to fill them. That's particularly true in the trades and manufacturing, where candidate pools are not only small, but tend to consist of individuals who don't have the skills needed to actually fill the positions they're applying for. We'll spend this hour talking about that skills gap and what's being done to close it. This is The West Side. And good morning. I'm Dean Kallenbeck. Good to have you with us on this sunny Monday morning. Our guests today are Tammy Kuchera. She is the vice president and owner of Lund Builders in River Falls. She's former president and current member of the board of directors of the St. Croix Valley Home Builders Association. Tammy Kuchera, great to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Jake Nolan is with us as well on the phone. Jake is human resources director for Rice Lake Weighing Systems. Jake Nolan, good to have you along.
Thanks for having me.
And Jeff Sullivan is the dean of apprenticeships, engineering, manufacturing, and information technology at Chippewa Valley Technical College in Eau Claire. Jeff Sullivan, glad to have you along.
Thanks for having me.
So as always, we invite you to be a part of the conversation. Are you an employer who's had problems finding the right people for your industry? Or maybe you're a worker who's been recruited. Tell us your story and give us your comment or ask your question at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. So Jake Nolan and Tammy Kuchera, I'd like to start by having you both share a little bit about your companies and the types of work you do. Jake Nolan, let's start with you by hearing about Rice Lake Weighing Systems. Tell us about your company. How many employees does Rice Lake Weighing Systems have?
Sure, Dean. We've grown to over 1,000 employees around the world. 500 of those are based here in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. We're family-owned and operated since 1946.
So talk about what you do.
I'm the Director of Human Resources, and among other things, I do a lot of recruiting and looking for different pipelines for employees and unique ways to attract and retain them.
What does the company make, or what is it that you do to what is Rice Lake Weighing Systems does?
Sure. We actually manufacture weighing and measurement equipment, and everything from a small kitchen counter scale up to truck scales and train scales and everything in between.
So a lot of different clients. What sort of skills are you looking for from laborers to help you get the work done that you need to get done?
Sure. Well, we're facing a shortage both on the manufacturing side, where we're looking for welders and CNC technicians and those kinds of skilled trade jobs, but we're also finding a shortage in the office positions in things like marketing and purchasing and those areas as well.
Let's shift now to hear about Lund Builders and the challenges that company has in filling positions. Tammy Kuchera, you and your husband, Todd, are owners of the business. Talk about the scope of your company's work and how this tight labor market affects you.
Well, we build around 13 homes a year, but we do probably 50 remodels. We're in the St. Croix Valley area. We see the work shortage affecting all the way around because we're being supplied by suppliers. We've got electricians, plumbers, and all kinds of contractors that work with us. How it affects us primarily is in keeping jobs moving in the right direction and being timely, which, of course, time is money. So that affects the cost of housing. When you are having a struggle getting workers, you're paying higher dollar for them, which is good, but it also affects that things are not getting done as quickly as we and the homeowners are expecting, and that costs money.
Now, as a general contractor, are you working with other contractors then to complete these projects?
Yes. You mean as far as, well, it's scheduling in the subcontractors,
right,
scheduling that electrician, and anything that gets thrown off, if there's a glitch somewhere, which can happen so often in construction, you could set yourself back 3 weeks because the domino effect, and these people are unable to get right back into the game.
How many different people does it take to build a typical home? And of those, how many are employed by you?
Well, we have only 11 employees because of the shortage of workers. We depend highly on specialized contractors. That means framing, construction, and electricians, plumbers. So they are all their own businesses, and they are looking for the workers that they need in their trades to fulfill our purposes and work together.
So you don't have all the control over, even if you had all the training and all the mm-hmm. great recruiting yourself, that's you don't have that control over some aspects of your business.
Right. You know, there was a day when as a contractor you could do so much of it yourself, but that was when you had enough people to fill all those places. Now you depend on the specialized fields that can bring in those people.
We're talking about worker shortage and particularly a skills gap in the industry and trades in western Wisconsin. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 800-228-5615. Jeff Sullivan is dean of Chippewa Valley Technical College. I'm interested in your bird's eye view of what's happening in the labor market here in western Wisconsin. What do you see?
We've seen programs like auto mechanics, CNC machinists that have 5 to 6 jobs per graduate coming out of the needs in the region. Wow. And our students have the pick of what they're looking for in terms of a job. So if they find something in their hometown, they're likely going to take it. And most of our programs that we have to offer, there's at least 2 to 3 jobs per graduate in our skilled trades areas. We've grown our programming since 2015. We serve around 25% more than what we did at that time. Overall, we've increased our programming from about 75 programs to over 115 programs because we've added career pathway models for students that may be an adult making a career change and implementing a one-year program as opposed to taking a 2-year and then starting to work and continuing on with their education. We also inform our programming from our employers. So we meet with our employers 2 times a year at advisory meetings, and our curriculum is either modified or approved through our advisory feedback. If we were to implement a 1-year program, our advisory members have to confirm that there's jobs available for those students that would participate in our programs. And then additionally, we've added more apprenticeship programming in the region. We've had 6 apprenticeship programs back in 2013, and we're up to 12 apprenticeship programs and serve over 350 apprentices in that mode of training as well.
So with all these opportunities in the trades and non-retail jobs, our reporter Rich Kramer reported last month earlier this month, that Wisconsin's technical colleges overall have seen a 20% decline in enrollment since 2010. Story at CVTC is opposite. You've grown. Can you share what you think is the difference there? What's made the difference as far as Chippewa Valley Technical College and the fact that you've been able to grow your programs?
We've partnered with our K-12 schools to offer events like our Manufacturing Day, where over 350 high school students and educators were able to come onto our campus, and also tour over 13 manufacturers to see what a career and those working environments would be like. We also have days and events coming up in November involving apprenticeship. November 12th, we'll host an event at the Pablo Center, trying to target those careers and have the contractors and employers at the Pablo Center to help promote apprenticeship careers. And many of our careers aren't on the forefront of students' minds. Is there, you know, it's not something you see on TV or get famous over, but it is something that you make a good, living, and you also provide work for our communities as well and contribute to our communities.
Our guest, the voice you just heard, Jeff Sullivan. He's the Dean of Apprenticeships, Engineering, Manufacturing, and Information Technology at Chippewa Valley Technical College in Eau Claire. We also have with us Jake Nolan, the Human Resources Director for Rice Lake Weighing Systems, and Tammy Kuchira, the Vice President and Owner of Lund Builders in River Falls. Has your company been suffering for lack of qualified help? Has your career path drawn you to a job in manufacturing or construction. Join the conversation at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network. Today we're talking about worker shortage and skills gaps here in western Wisconsin, and our guests today are Tammy Kuchera of Lund Builders in River Falls, Jake Nolan of Rice Lake Weighing Systems, and Jeff Sullivan of Chippewa Valley Technical College. And before we move on with our guests, let's go to the phones, and we welcome Vern on the line. Vern, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Good morning. I come from the old days. I'm 76 years old. And back in what they have done is put college education ahead of vocational education. So it's easier to go to college and get a job where you sit in an office until you're 55 and then you retire. Nobody wants to do manual labor. But we need, like in high schools, 8 semesters of industrial arts. And we got to teach these kids this in the 8th grade. We have to teach them mathematics that's needed to calculate, you know, like diagonals and squares and geometry of housing and stuff like that. We also need better building materials and stuff like that. We can't afford to build houses on site. We have to build them in a factory, like a mobile home, only much higher quality. And I've spent since 1968 designing these things, and I can't get the government to listen at all. But we can't afford it. You know, we're rebuilding all these old houses. They got so many rules that these contractors have to follow. It costs them an arm and a leg and delays everything. Our Portland cement has been diverted to China, and the list goes on. I could talk forever on this. But my kid, he worked for a contractor. He's a very good carpenter. He's independent now, and he gets jobs. But like I said, we got to go back to valuing manual labor, and I went to District 1 for 17 years, and I took everything you could take there.
And District 1 is the predecessor to Chippewa Valley Technical
right.
College,
and that's
right?
When they used to have the machinery and the tools, and they right. taught people stuff, well, know, the real world and how you work and stuff like that.
Thank you, Vern. I appreciate the comments, and better industrial arts is what we called it when I was in high school. I think there's a new name for it now. Jeff Sullivan, I'm sure you're well acquainted with the programs that are happening in the high school. Do we need to require more of that sort of thing in our high schools?
We're trying to contribute to the solution with this. We have a mobile lab that we take out to our rural schools where this mobile lab will bring the equipment that students will actually use in a manufacturing setting and a design setting. And so we have CNC equipment, we have welding equipment that we take out to the rural schools, teach the curriculum to get the interest. Some of these schools only have one tech ed teacher or one career and technical education teacher, and their subjects are full, and they need help, and we can come out and help. We also have things called high school academies where we have the equipment on our campus that is validated by industry to be using, and students come onto our campus and take our coursework during the high school day. We also help train high school teachers over the summer where they come onto our campus to learn new techniques in welding, machining, automation, electricity, fluid power, and trying to help incorporate those trades or those skill sets into a pathway that can develop at a high school level and move into the technical college level.
When you use the initial CNC, what does that represent?
Computer numeric control.
Got it. Okay. We heard Vern talk about construction and his son being involved in construction. Let's spend a few minutes talking about the construction industry with Tammy Kuchera of Lund Builders. Now, October is Careers in Construction Month. I found that out after I booked this show, but good coincidence.
Okay.
The president of the Wisconsin Builders Association, Harvey Kessel, said last week that after many workers left the home building industry during the Great Recession to look for more steady work, not nearly enough of them have returned. Is that your experience, Tammy Kuchera?
Yes, definitely. And without that generation that is already seasoned in construction, we have less training on job for the younger people wanting to come into the trades. We are finding some reentry, and that is good. And they are oftentimes reentering, having their own business and subcontracting. But this is where builders have actively participated with CVTC, and we have a CVTC college in River Falls that has really beefed up their program. As builders, we've been very active with them in hiring the CVTC graduates, as well as the apprenticeship programs, having those young people coming on. Because the value of CVTC is that they are doing the training that we used to be able to get on site. We used to have the ones that were seasoned training the younger people, and that's just not there. We like to see higher work ethic. Those who are coming into construction need a solid work ethic, and they are being taught that at CVTC as well. So what we have missed is the reentry of these people coming back into the workforce. But I do feel that colleges are rising to the occasion, and we're seeing a lot of good training that we would have been missing.
I'm interested in the work ethic comment, and I will say this with the bias that I'm a farm boy. I grew up on a dairy farm. I know, Tammy, in our conversation early on, you grew up on a farm, or you grew up in industry, and you decided to become a farmer.
I did, but
this idea of people who, you know, growing up around people who were self-motivated because their livelihood depended on it, that maybe is happening less, or there are less opportunities for that sort of background. Do you feel that that's something? I mean, how do you deal with that? Because that's sort of an attitudinal thing, right?
It is, and it is a challenge because there's so much out there to offer students. Their need to be excellent is a little challenged sometimes. But we do still have those people who realize that their life goes in the direction that they determine if they will have a strong work ethic. But learning that on your job sites, making sure that your job sites have a firm work ethic, that's something that trickles down. And I think the training that they receive from instructors at the colleges has been excellent in training them up. You're right. People that come out of the farm industry really have strong work ethics because those are private businesses where their survival's determined by how hard they work.
Now, housing, home building can be a boom or bust business. Is there something construction contractors can do to give their workers more stability and peace of mind?
As far as you mean a future, like what we offer, HR?
Or? I mean, it tends, I mean, my understanding of construction is you know you're going to be working as long as this job is continuing and you have another one lined up.
Right.
If things get tight in the economy and people aren't building houses, that's not necessarily a guarantee, and people are looking for stability.
They are. I think one of the powerful things that builders are doing is learning to work together at an even greater level. Now, back in the 70s and, well, more so in the 80s and the 90s, we were real strong with associations. That has weakened some with the new generation. I think they don't quite partake in the idea that there's synergy in working together and creating an environment. And that's something that builders need to value as we come together and we work with legislators as associations, we work with colleges as an association, and we create an environment that's going to be a strong greenhouse effect for the construction industry. This is going to benefit all kinds of businesses, all the way to retail, banking, all kinds. It changes our communities to have a strong construction industry.
Nationally, 6 in 10 home builders surveyed experienced delays in completing projects in time. 18% had to turn down some projects, and 9% even lost or canceled sales because they had too few workers to complete their homes. Do these stories ring true for you and others in the St. Croix Valley Home Builders Association?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. It's very frustrating for everyone, and the homeowners included.
We're talking about worker shortage and skills gaps and how it affects us here in western Wisconsin. You're welcome to join the conversation at 800-228-5615. I want to turn now, dig deeper now into other industry in western Wisconsin beyond the construction area. Jake Nolan, what's the key to fixing the worker shortage and the skills gap for companies like your company, Rice Lake Weighing Systems?
Well, Dean, I would say that manufacturing companies need to think about changing the paradigm. I think historically we've always looked for the perfect candidate and somebody who would apply to your newspaper advertisement or your online advertisement, and they were fully qualified, and they would go through the interview process and get selected and come on and start right away. And I would say coming out of the Great Recession, and we were fortunate not to have a layoff during that time, and were able to do some retraining, and that led to a change of mindset with our organization that we could train people in a variety of different jobs and that they didn't have to be the perfect candidate. And so looking for different partnerships where we could find a maybe a started but not a complete candidate. And, when I look back through all the different things that we've done over the years, it's not enough to just work with, the technical colleges anymore. We have junior high school kids coming on site and touring our facility with Skills USA. And then moving up through the high school, we started a partnership with Rice Lake High School about 7 years ago with a welder skill path program, and actually had one of their instructors here for a summer learning our techniques and processes, and that has blossomed into a great partnership over the years. And then moving on, we are on advisory committees at both WITC and CVTC. And so we are involved with the technical colleges, and then we have very strong partnerships with the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire for sales and marketing, and University of Wisconsin at Stout for their engineering programs. And so we are looking for multiple points of entry for people to bring into our organization, and then we spend a year or more kind of finishing them off after they're employed.
Now, with some of that specialization, you talked about the times where you're maybe able to take a candidate who's not perfect and train them up. You've got resources of a company of 1,000 people, 500 there in your Rice Lake shop. How do smaller manufacturers without the resources of your company manage that sort of training?
Well, we like to do whatever we can internally, and a strong desire to promote from within. And one of our signature programs that we have is our welder development program. And we actually applied for and received a Wisconsin Fast Forward grant about 6 years ago, working with WITC and the high school. And now we can bring welders in literally with no welding experience, with welders coming out of the high school welding skill path program, welders coming out of the tech schools, or welders that are seasoned welders but need to come in and learn our products and processes. And so looking at it from not, again, that one, you have to find this fully qualified candidate, but looking at it as we can take almost anybody with the minimum qualifications and turn them into a success story within our organization.
Jake Nolan, we got a call from, and she couldn't stay on the line, but she left a message. Judy from Eau Claire was asking about collaboration with labor unions, for example, through internships. Do businesses like Rice Lake Weighing Systems or others that you're aware of in your area invite organized labor to be one of those partners to come to the table?
We are not represented, but we have other partnerships that we work on a day in and day out. We do job shadowing partnerships with the Rice Lake High School. We do youth apprenticeship programs and through various local agencies. And so we have a lot of different pathways to bring people into the organization to see what we do and see if this would be a good place for them to have a career.
Your number to call if you want to join the conversation, 800-228-5615. Mara Lee is on the line. Mara Lee, welcome to the West Side.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Very good.
Good.
What would you like to add to the conversation today?
Well, I actually just joined, so I apologize. I'm not sure what was all talked about, but I do have just some information on what we've done, you know, to recruit hard-to-fill positions, if you want me to kind of speak to that.
Yeah, and Marilee, I want to point out, you are the HR person with McCain Foods and Rice, like one of Jake Nolan's neighbors, as a matter of fact.
Yes, I am.
So, yeah, talk about some of the work that McCain Foods, and talk about what McCain Foods is. What do you do? What do you make? And then what are you doing to build up some recruiting?
Yep. So we are located in Rice Lake, right across from Rice Lake Weighing Systems, as you mentioned. We've been here for over 50 years. We manufacture onion rings. We have roughly 300 employees. In May of 2017, we switched from 8-hour shifts to 12-hour shifts. So that was a challenge for us to fill those positions. We basically needed to hire a whole new crew of people. And then, of course, we had some people leave who were on the 8 hours who did not want to work the full 12 hours. So we had to get creative with recruiting and kind of what we were doing. We did some non-traditional recruiting. We used the radio back when everyone else was using the newspaper. I think we were one of the first employers to really hit the radio advertising for employment, and that worked out really well for us. So kudos to the radio for that. But we also, when we advertised, focused kind of on you know, the high points of the position and the company. You know, we can offer that work-life balance. People do work long hours, but on the flip side, they have more time off. So at the end of the day, they're working fewer days throughout the year, but they're still earning benefits and have that time off. And then, of course, we focus on all of the benefits that the company has to offer and advancement opportunities and things like that.
We're talking with Marilee Krennic of McCain Foods in Rice Lake. I'm wondering, I grew up in Barron County, and we knew of, back in the day it was Moore Foods, but we knew of it as the Onion Factory because that's what you guys do. You make onion rings, and there are some difficulties, I would think, recruiting, because there is certainly, working with onions is not like working with other fruit. There,
right.
It can hurt I have trouble cutting an onion in my kitchen. I can imagine trying to process something like that on an industrial level. Does that make it harder to recruit? And do you find the same sort of work ethic challenges that we were talking about earlier in the program, where it's hard to find people who will knuckle down and do that kind of work, especially maybe even in those 12-hour shifts you're talking about?
Yeah, it's, I think, like you said, I think we're still kind of known as the Onion Ring Factory. One thing we did to try to combat that a little bit is we actually started taking candidates out, onto the floor during the interview process and actually let them try out the job. And that has worked really well for us. Because you can describe it over the phone, you know, and talk about it as much as you can, but until you actually get out there and try it, see the environment, feel the environment, feel how your eyes feel, that type of thing. So that's one thing that worked well for us by adding that to our interview process. And the other part of your question, yes, we do struggle with, you know, the work ethic. People just don't want to, work, especially, you know, working the 12 hours. That's been a challenge for us and continues to be a challenge for us.
We're hearing more about automation replacing people in manufacturing. Is that part of the solution to a worker shortage for McCain Foods?
I think so. That's something we're always focusing on. We have an excellent tech services department, and you know they spend a lot of time here. So I think you know as the months and years go on, there'll definitely be more automation coming.
Marilee Krennic, appreciate your joining us. One question before we let you go. Jake Nolan talked earlier about Rice Lake Weighing Systems going with programs that reach even into the junior high level. Is your company trying to work to get into that the pre-high school graduation age person to let them know about the kind of opportunities that are available there?
Yeah, we actually just started doing that within the last year or so, definitely becoming more involved when the community or schools have career days, attending those and getting our name out there and letting, the kids know that we are more than just the onion ring factory and there are lots of great opportunities here.
Marilee Krennic, glad you could join us today. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much.
And I would like Jake Nolan, if you would, I want to follow up on a question I asked. Is Rice Lake Weighing Systems also looking at automation as a way to try to ameliorate some of the worker shortage problems that come up?
Certainly looking at automation in a number of different areas, not necessarily to replace workers. You find when we automate that we typically take a welder, and if we have a robotic welder, we will train a welder to become that robotic welder operator. So it's a higher level, higher paying job for that person. So it gives them some career growth and some advanced financial opportunities that they might not have if they continued on that as a welder career path.
That's the voice of Jake Nolan. He's Human Resources Director for Rice Lake Weighing Systems. Our other guests right now are Jeff Sullivan, the Dean of Apprenticeships, Engineering, Manufacturing, and Information Technology at Chippewa Valley Technical College in Eau Claire, and Tammy Kuchera, the Vice President and owner of Lund Builders of River Falls, also former president and current member of the Board of Directors of the St. Croix Valley Home Builders Association. We would like to invite you to join the conversation. What's your company doing to provide more incentives for you to stay in your position or to learn new skills? Is pay your only incentive, or are there perks you're looking for from your employers? We still have time to bring you into the show at 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach on the West Side. This is the Ideas Network. We're back talking about the worker shortage and skills gap in western Wisconsin, and we're talking with our guest Tammy Kuchera of Lund Builders of River Falls, Jake Nolan of Rice Lake Weighing Systems, and Jeff Sullivan of Chippewa Valley Technical College in Eau Claire. And Jeff Sullivan, I'd like to kind of move into a conversation about some of the innovative things that are happening to try to attract people to the trades, to skilled labor. And Chippewa Valley Technical College, we've heard from both Tammy Kuchera and Jake Nolan that the technical college system is an important partner. Talk about the relationship between industry in Western Wisconsin and CVTC and how you shape your programs to try to meet local needs.
Sure. Last year, we served over 18,000 people in a variety of means. It could be anything from customized training where we could offer a topic on a certain 8-hour day if it's a specific theme that an employer is looking for. We can set up that training session. It could involve safety, technology, efficiency in the processes they have. We've also collaborated with people like McCain Foods on 36-hour training involving Industry 4.0 or IT and manufacturing-type training. And then we've worked with our employers as well. Some of our students struggle to make ends meet with tuition. And by the time they're in the second semester of their programs, the employers are doing a learn and earn or work-based learning program where they go to school and the employers help cover the tuition of those students as they go through our programs. We've received support from the Gene Haas Foundation to pay for scholarships for some of our students. So the other thing is we've offered more apprenticeships in areas like IT and manufacturing, those hard-to-fill areas like welding, where somebody could work at a company one for 4 days a week and 1 day a week come to school and set up an academic program where they're getting educated on the job, and they're also getting educated through CVTC. We also take advantage of credit for prior learning initiatives. So if somebody has done something in the field before, instead of making them retake a three-credit course on a topic that they have experience in, we have the ability to test out and give them credit for those experiences. We've also collaborated with organizations like 3M, where we'll go into the schools, they'll help support the purchase of some of this complex automation equipment, and we'll be able to expose students in a controlled environment those themes and topics and give them credits at a high school level into our college programs.
You mentioned apprenticeships. Is that concept of training workers through apprenticeships becoming more popular?
We've seen businesses that are from a distance. So we have companies that are sending people from 70 miles one way to our college. They're able to send their employees 1 day a week. And then there's also a salary being earned or hourly rates. And it's an employee that they can select. So the person has a good work history, and it's upskilling that that individual from one level within a company to another, and that companies that have initiated an apprenticeship-type program seem to have some success in maintaining or retaining folks. We've also worked with a local employer. They found a gap in some inspection and quality themes. So every Tuesday, our faculty will go over and teach at an adjacent facility and teach manufacturing quality inspection. It's an 18-month program. The employees come off the production line and learn that new technology. There's 9 credits of math and 9 credits of technical skills, and then they're able to move up in the job profile that they can perform for that company here in the region.
That's the voice of Jeff Sullivan. You're invited to join our conversation, 800-228-5615. Tom from Eau Claire has done so. Tom, welcome to the West Side.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Fascinating show, folks.
Glad you enjoy it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I'm coming at things from a little different position. I will be 62 in January, and I was laid off in midsummer from a manufacturing job. I'm an artist, and I've worked various jobs to support myself. So having been laid off and going through the unemployment process, to make a long story short, I ended up in CVTC this semester in their digital marketing program, which I find fascinating. In another lifetime, I was an English teacher, so on the one hand, I find myself kind of overqualified for a lot of the jobs that are available. So I'm hoping, and thanks and kudos to CVTC and to all you guys who are working with the school. They do a wonderful thing and support their students tremendously. I have nothing but good things to say, and thank you to you guys. So something that needs to get out there is that there is a huge pool of older workers who, you can't work a 12-hour shift on your feet anymore. Or if you do, it's not going to be for too much longer. And CBTC does address this. I wish the word got out a little bit further that there are all sorts of programs that people, if they just take a deep breath and, make plunge, they're out. These programs are available, and you don't have to keep doing what you're doing. That's what I'm trying to say.
Tom, thank you for sharing your story. And we had another caller, Nadine, who was driving in Western Wisconsin and didn't want to stay on the line, but wanted to express that she was also interested in hearing more about older people reentering the workforce or changing jobs. Jeff Sullivan, is that an area that CVTC is sensitive to?
We're here to serve our community, and you know, enrich the lives of those that live in our community. So our average age fluctuates within our programs, but we'll serve anybody from a high school senior all the way up to somebody that's looking for a career change to somebody that's retired and maybe looking for a new opportunity in the work world. I think a big component of working with those that are older and making that transition is working on that credit for prior learning, taking advantage of those experiences that you've had, bringing them back to an educational setting and verifying that we can give you credit for your work and your experiences and honor the things that you've done in the past. And the other thing we see, too, with our students is that's what their work environment looks like. You're not going to be working with all 21-year-olds. You're going to have somebody that's seasoned, and you should respect their experiences and know what they can bring to the table and learn more from them. So we really enjoy the perspectives that our students bring to the classroom and their backgrounds, because those things are of value to us and a value to our employers.
Looking at that age thing, though, there's another aspect to that. The tail end of the baby boomer generation is nearing retirement age. And I'm thinking in the construction industry, yeah. Especially when you're dealing with a physically demanding type of job that becomes even more of an influence. Does that pose an even greater challenge, Jeff Sullivan, to your institution as it tries to ready the next generation of workers?
There are opportunities that we look at for the newest and greatest technologies and trying to upskill. We do have supports in place to help those that are coming back into the educational field. I know some of the things, too, with lifting or physically taxing jobs. Sometimes the employers have things that they can set in place and work with those individuals that need assistance. You know, we have the ability to train people with different abilities, and we can accommodate those skills. If somebody comes into our program and needs assistance based on a certain ability that they have or don't have, we can make modifications to the equipment or help them be successful in learning based on their ability and where they can work.
And Tammy Kuchera, you know, we talked about the fact that, you know, it's tough. I worked on my shed over the weekend, and I was dragging all day Saturday. It's tough when you're older to do that sort of physical labor. How is the construction industry dealing with that age shift?
Well, you know, not only do we need hands-on workers, but, I mean, I'm a 5'2", 60-year-old woman, and I'm a builder. We are in desperate need of management. Job sites, we're a custom builder, so we require that things are very hands-on with our customers. Having people, especially men, but women, there's a huge, broad area for women to get involved in construction as well, but to have them as job managers, managing all the aspects of the building industry. And like I said earlier, one of our biggest challenges is scheduling. And that's something that, you know, you don't have to have physical labor to do. Yeah, we like these guys to be on the job site, but that doesn't mean they have to be lifting trusses on the second story. It means that they need to be managing between the customer and the subcontractors, the laborers that are on site. There needs to be constant communication between them, the building inspectors, the clients, the different people that are working on site. And those are invaluable in construction. It keeps things rolling.
You talked earlier about your role on the board of directors of the St. Croix Valley Home Builders Association and the role of associations like that. Yes. How are groups like yours tackling that problem we were talking about earlier of getting young people interested in working in construction-related jobs?
Well, we're very excited at the St. Croix Valley Home Builders Association, because we have a new event coming up. It's brand new. We're starting at April 22nd. It's called Build My Future Wisconsin. And what it is it's a showcase for people in the construction industry to come in and set up an area where they can have hands-on activities for students. And we're inviting and have a great response from high schools, shop teachers, and they're going to be bringing in the schools, the students for the hands-on learning. In those workshops, in those areas that each vendor is able to put up, they're able to talk to the students about their various trades. Students will be doing hands-on activities like building a truss or setting bricks or learning about electrical currents, and everything has to be hands-on. It's not just going to be about talking to the students. It'll be about showing them what they can actually physically do in the trades. And there are people that are created to do physical labor that I think are sitting behind desks that are going to find out that they really would rather be out there working with their hands or managing. So what we have is this is brand new. We developed a foundation at the St. Croix Valley Homebuilders Association, and we've made it a 501c3. And this is an advantage in that anybody can be donating money to this foundation, especially builders who want to see students helped financially. So we're building not only this event, but we're also developing funds for giving out scholarships, and we're also tackling the affordable housing issue. But back to Build My Future Wisconsin, we have, even though we're brand new, we've gotten a great response. We have a website, if I can share that.
Please.
It is www.scvhba.com/build-my-future. And to help you remember what SCVHBA is, it's St. Croix Valley Home Builders Association. But typing that in, you'll get to go to a website where you can see where companies and manufacturers and construction employees can find a place to register, and schools can register as well as students.
Very good. Jake Nolan, I think we're at the point where we'll give you the last word. We talked earlier about the sorts of innovation that Rice Lake Weighing Systems has been taking advantage of in trying to get into even the junior high level and high schools to draw young people into the field. What's going to be the key to making that sort of recruitment work?
I think one of the things that we're very proud of here is that we recognized that we had a skills gap for our trainers, and because we do so much on-the-job training and kind of finishing out of those candidates I spoke to earlier, that we developed our own mentor train the trainer program, and it's a 10-hour training program that's done over a couple of weeks, and it's been very, very successful for us. In not everybody is born to train other people. Even they might be the most technically competent person, but learning those skills of how to transfer knowledge to other people is a whole new thing, and it's something that I would highly recommend.
Jeff Nolan, thank you for joining us. Jeff Nolan of Rice Lake Weighing Systems has been with us through the hour. Also, Jake Nolan, rather. Jeff Sullivan is the Dean of Apprenticeships, Engineering, Manufacturing, and Information Technology at Chippewa Valley Technical College in Eau Claire. Tammy Kuchera, Vice President and owner of Lund Builders in River Falls. Good to have you all with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
As always, we appreciate you being along. Our producer and on-air producer today, Catherine Thomas, Kate Spranger, helped with publicity. Next week, we bring on Jesse James, the Republican State Representative of Altoona, and Jeff Smith, Democratic State Senator from Eau Claire. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is The West Side.